You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine.
Breadline is broadcast from the stolen, unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate.
Fair and equal treatment for all. Today on Breadline, we're going to be talking about the system of the job service parasites, we call them, also known as the job networks. I'm from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and I'm called Jessica, and also in the studio is Hank.
Hello, I'm also in the AUWU as well.
Yes, so because we have this current system, we were thinking that it'd be interesting to talk a bit about how it began. So the privatisation of the system for making, you know, a central point where job offers were available actually started under the Howard government when they privatised what was known as the Commonwealth Employment Service, the CES.
Hey, do you think it's time for a community service announcement?
I think it is, Hank.
It is.
Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritised progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
In the old days, you could go into the CES and it was quite a straightforward thing. There were no mutual obligations for a start. And you could just walk straight in. There'd be a whole lot of job offers on the boards. So they replaced the CES with the job network of private and not-for-profit, in quotes, employment service providers on the 1st of May 1998. So a bad day for us, I'd say.
Yeah, that was. And let me mention too, because you had two government institutions, now everybody knows the Centrelink. That was called the Department of Social Security, which is where you put your form in, which is the equivalent today of, workforce.
Yeah, or a job plan, which is sort of tied in with your eligibility for a payment.
That's right. But you all you did was go down there with a little white piece of paper where every fortnight you put two jobs on. And then I remember in around the year 2000, so 2 years after 1998, this is all under the Howard government, that's when they brought in these books where you had to fill out 20 jobs every fortnight.
Ooh, that's quite a lot.
And I remember going, this isn't working for me. It's a not good thing. But I just wanted to mention too, it's a paraphrase, but I remember reading at the time of when the Howard government came in they said something on the lines of the welfare state is a failed experiment and we're going to shut it down. That was their thing. So this is the motive of privatisation.
Yeah. And we know, of course, that we only have some kind of benefits because people have fought for them in the past, gone on strike for them, and we know that the current sort of iteration of this system is a complete joke and is only there to extract profits from basically the cash cows, which are all the people who are signed on to the multiplicity of job service parasites.
That's right. That's right. And the job service parasites, the privatisation, I think, you know, can be linked also to the what they call the neoliberal paradigm, but it's kind of like neoliberal. It's kind of like going back to the 19th century workhouse type of mentality where you are punished if you're a poor person. And also moving away from the welfare state, like having you do all the work for the dole, having maybe so-called non-governmental, non-profit organisations taking up the slack of what the government did provide. There was actually a discussion in the Reagan administration very clearly saying, we're gonna withdraw money. They wanted to cut taxes to rich people, and the other half of that is they're not going to spend money on social well-being, on having a security net. So what do? They say we're going to have all these people volunteering.
Yeah.
And this and they called that the third economy, which is their alternative to the social provision by authorities of well-being for people.
Well, good point, because in the old days in Australia, we know from the great documents in the Commons Library that you would have, if you were very short of money and desperate, you'd have these well-meaning ladies who were doing it out of their sort of patronising worldview who'd come into your house and say, what, you've still got some furniture, but you're asking us for money, get rid of, sell that furniture. The same attitude. And I know also from living in the UK that there was a system, again, similar to what you were saying with the CES, where you had to come in once a fortnight and sort of sign on was the thing you had to do. But now they have moved right over to the privatised system, of course, with the fact that capitalism, as we know, is international. And they actually have learnt from the Australian system, and they have the same punitive setup.
Well, it's funny you reminded me then that, I don't know if people remember or if you weren't around at that time, John Howard was in pretty close cahoots, was friendly with the leadership of the Salvation Army. And if you've ever had the Salvation Army as a job network provider or parasite, they are horrible.
The Starvation Army.
And, you know, and this is also going back to this whole thing of charity, that we have to beg cap in hand just to get some food.
You have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And now it's prove yourself by, you know, applying for hundreds of jobs and also having to do them online when you might not be across using a computer even. And, we'll just go to a bit of a music break here.
Kako mijenja se vrijeme, evo što biva od jedne teme. Nekad ju je zaljubljeno svirao list, a danas ravnodušno od nje prave običan twist. I neki bune se već, to nije posao čist, od jedne takve teme prave Paganinijev twist. Starog ritma se drže, sada se stvari sviraju brže. Kao na ruletu kad se okreće grad, i Paganini stari drugčije bi svirao sad. Kratak je dan, a neku žuri se svijet, i vrijeme sada svira jedan novi ludi koncert. Kao na ruletu kad se okreće grad, i Paganini stari drugčije bi svirao sad, jer tako kratak je dan, a neku žuri se svijet, i vrijeme sada svira jedan novi ludi koncert. Jer tako kratak je dan, a neku žuri se svijet,
So, yes, Jessica and Hank here from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Breadline. And we're going to be talking later in the show about the tips that we've gleaned from working with the advocacy line, which the Unemployed Workers Union runs. But first of all, I thought I'd read out a great and little media release from the CPSU, the Commonwealth Public Servants Union, which they did in November. I actually missed this. They did last November. But a good straight on confrontation of the privatised job network system. The CPSU has labelled Australia's employment services system a complete failure, after new figures revealed a system that is delivering worse outcomes year after year. According to the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations' own annual report, only 11.7% of the job seekers secured long-term work last year, while billions of taxpayer dollars were funneled into private providers. The current employment services system is projected to cost taxpayers $8.2 billion over the next 4 years and is dominated by only a handful of providers owned by multinational companies. These providers have been caught engaging in unethical behaviour, gouging as much money as they can from their already lucrative government contracts. Whistleblowers have revealed that providers are falsely claiming credit for job seekers who have secured themselves a job, enabling them to claim taxpayer dollars for doing absolutely nothing. And media reports have uncovered that more than $40 million a year is being pocketed by providers for shuffling job seekers through jobs and training programs within their own companies. So a nice little earner, it turns out to be for them. So the media release continues. This is not value for money. It is not delivering for Australians who need real support to find secure employment. A modern and fit for purpose Commonwealth Employment Service, as we were just talking about earlier, would provide real pathways to employment, support local communities and businesses, and restore integrity to a system that is well and truly lost its way. Here's a quote from Melissa Donnelly, the CPSU National Secretary. Privatisation has turned employment services into a ticker box, profit-driven industry that rewards providers for keeping people in a cycle of unemployment, and these numbers are proof of that. An 11.7 success rate isn't a success at all, it's a failure. Failure to support job seekers, failure to meet workforce demands, and failure to provide value for money. Australians deserve better than a system that punishes job seekers while lining the pockets of multinational corporations. It's time to end this failed experiment and bring back the CES. Good one.
I'm glad to see that the CPSU, I mean, that's people who work
exactly in the industry, but not the actual job networks, which aren't usually unionised.
So are these people who like work for the
something like Centrelink?
Centrelink, yeah.
DSS, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So it's good. They've got a clear understanding of it. They work in it.
That's right.
I just thought a couple of figures that you mentioned, like that they mentioned, $8.2 billion.
Yeah,
and I always had the feeling when I was forced to do a course, which I think you're going to talk about that bit later. But I've been forced to do a number of courses by job network parasites, and I always felt it's like, these little companies that they're mates with, that they give, and sometimes them themselves, it's like, what about they just gave us the money?
Yeah, direct. And they have these little pots of money as well, which they are able to give to job seekers. But I tell you what, they hold on to them pretty tightly. The things like for transport, for work clothes, that kind of thing, mobile phones, if they get really pushed, they will sometimes part with some. But it's a hard battle.
Oh, look, I have made a point in the past. I remember I actually went for a job that I didn't get, but I had to, in order to maybe get the job, I had to buy work clothes like steel cap boots, etc. And I made sure, and I suggest to you all, I made sure that I took the receipts and I got the money out of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's they're supposed to pay. But $8.2 billion... When you know, it's like even people working two jobs can't afford a place to live.
That's That, and they in my I live in, you know, rural South Gippsland. You see them in the country towns. They just sprout like mushrooms. There's usually about five or six of them in the centre of town.
Yeah.
And you know that they're yeah.
What was the figure too about their so-called success rate? Did you say 11.7? What's that mean?
11.7 of the job seekers secured long-term work.
Right. And right, so I mean that's not a very high success rate. No. I mean, if you had a medical problem, and they said, "Look, we recommend this treatment, but there's only a 10% or around 10% chance of success," would you choose that treatment? I don't think so. And I just wanted to quickly say it's about getting secure employment in what's becoming a gig economy.
Yeah, not a fake job, a job in quotes that goes away after 6 months after they've got their little hunk of money, after the employers has got their little hunk of money from the government. It's a real job.
Yeah. And when you do their courses, they tell you that you have to like basically sell out all your personal self-esteem and say anything that the employer wants to get their job. And let's face it, it's a job market.
Yeah.
It's a market. So, you know, if you're a commodity, that's all you are. You're just like something sitting on the shelf in a supermarket. And if nobody wants it, well, it's supply and demand. So why should you live in poverty just because you're in the section of the community that isn't meeting demand?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, do you think it's time for a community service announcement?
I think it is, Hank.
It is.
Trans Day of Audibility returns to 3CR for its fifth year running. 8 hours of wall-to-wall transgender programming, featuring live music, lived experiences, and dispatches from the front line in the war against reaction. Tune in from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 31st of March. 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, 3cr.org.au, 3CR Digital.
And you're listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on wonderful 3CR Community Radio. And, we've been talking generally about the whole job service providers, job service parasites system. And from our advocacy line, which the union runs, it's run by unemployed people. So you've got a chance to talk to someone who knows exactly what you're going through. I've picked up a few tips. So
can I just ask what the number for that is?
The number, yes. Very good. It is 1-800-289-848 or advocacy@awu.org.au. And that's Monday to Friday. The phone number is looked after and from 10 till 2. Yeah. So the first one is solidarity. Bring a friend. And I've been told the best wording is to tell the JSP, they have my permission to be present. So it really takes the pressure off you if you have your friend there, even if they're just writing down notes, just have someone else with you. Now, the other important one is 48 hours to look at your job plan. They like to dump the job plan in front of you or print it out nicely in their special font, and they like you to sign it straight away because then they can tick the box, they've got you then. But you have 48 hours to look at it before you sign it. So,
and can I just say, you could phone the advocacy line and just double check if it's okay what they're demanding.
Yeah, if you're happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't feel pressured to sign the job plan. MOs, we all know them, mutual obligations. There's all kinds of ways that they try and get you in. But there are a few opportunities as well. Like if you're over 55, you can do volunteering. People can volunteer actually at the community radio. You can volunteer with community gardens, community houses, a whole op shops if you want to. So there are a whole lot of chances there to avoid it.
I just say there that that's what I – if you're over 55 and you've been on the dole for unemployed for a year – That's what I do. I volunteer at 3CR, and I actually forgot to fill the form in, and they immediately I got a message on my phone for a JSP.
Oh, right.
And so I just went straight into Centrelink office with the form signed from the radio station, and when I submitted the form, I said, oh, so what about the job network provider or job service provider? Mm. And the person working at Centrelink says, don't phone them. Don't worry about it.
Oh, interesting.
So you're off.
Yeah. Well, I got the runaround between the two of them, the Centrelink and JSP. I had to go between them, and neither of them were talking. So yours were good. Mm.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be.
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
His country's black future is a fire.
And you're listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on wonderful 3CR Community Radio. They've just recently changed the rules so that if you are in physical or mental pain due to the system or due to any other health conditions, you can get now a medical exemption from MOs for up to 2 years. And they've put the forms that the doctor fills in online, so it makes it a little bit easier for your GP. Then courses. We know, as Hank was saying before, that a lot of the courses are in-house and they're making a lot of money out of them. And they try and push people to do, if you are trying to get, say, a computer tech job, they try and push you to do a barista course because then they can tick that off and then probably get some kind of payout. Well, you don't have to do something if it's not on the level of your existing education. So you can argue that. And then the whole issue of phone appointments. We talked on Breadline before about extreme weather events, but it's much better to do phone appointments for a whole lot of reasons.
Yeah, I mean you're not in their environment, which is really good. I just wanted to add, I think that they're great points and they're all gained from people's experience who've called in on what number again is it?
1-800-289-848.
Yes, and, you know, they're all unemployed people who are there to help you, not with special expertise, but it's sharing of knowledge and mutual support. And I just, you know, after many decades of being in and out of these people, I just say, to put it in colloquial terms, don't spill your guts. These people are not your friends. They are not there to help you. They're there to squeeze you, like, for every bit of money they can get out of you. And I think you're going to find out about what their attitude is in a second from a report that Jessica's going to put. But just don't spill your guts. It's your personal life. You don't have to tell them anything you don't want to tell them. You know, just think of it like if you're being accused of a crime you didn't commit. If you tell the police something, they will use it against you and you'll end up being put in jail for something you didn't do. Well, these people are the same things. They'll have you cut off and they'll have you having no money and enjoy, yes, and maybe even enjoying it in the process. And you don't have to sign. The second thing I wanted to say is you don't have to sign up unless you really have to. So just check out whether you can just use the so-called app, and directly deal with Workforce Plus instead of having to have a job network provider. Because if you don't have to, you're not going to get hassled. So make sure you keep a distance.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah, how to break up. We'll be talking about that in other episodes, how to break up with your job service provider. But this is from a friend of the union's who actually applied for a job with a provider he felt as if was ethical and was actually helping people, and he thought that's what he'd be doing. So that he was told, we will give you 120 people per month to handle. Well, he was a bit shocked by that, and he said, that's too many to actually get them jobs, you know. And they said, oh, you don't have to find them jobs. They find their own. If they don't, send them to do courses for 6 months. If they don't still don't have a job, then work for the dole. We have to make money. So you've been listening to Breadline. So it's goodbye from Jessica.
And it's goodbye from Hank.
See you next week.
Oh, and don't forget, coming up is Eritrean
Voices. Yay.
ひとりぼっちが寂しくて人の情けに酔いたい夜は心しみじみ胸を刺す第二位悲しい酒です。
ひとり酒場で
別れた後の心残りよ、未練なのね。あの人の面影、寂しさを忘れるために飲んでいるのに、酒は今夜も私を悲しくさせる。酒よ、どうして、どうしてあの人を諦めたらいいの、諦めたらいいの。
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.